Okay, everybody, workday's over.
This is the best of the OG with Ovius and Giglio podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Brought to you by Capital Financial Advisory Group. Get your total retirement income plan by texting JOE to 21000. Enjoy the best of today's show. Here's Ovius and Giglio.
And Duke, North Carolina has suddenly taken a turn, Giglio.
You know how I feel about losses,
yeah.
But there's no denying this now.
Yeah. Now, here's the biggest question after Duke lost to Georgia Tech last night.
In overtime.
Has Saturday's matchup between the Tar Heels and the Devils turned into a WWE loser goes to the NIT match?
For the sake of your narrative, I will say yes.
Okay.
But in reality, anytime you're on the bubble,
mm-hmm.
your performance in the conference tournament matters.
Sure.
So I don't think the loser needs to necessarily leave town,
mm-hmm.
particularly if it's Carolina.
See, that's where I think it gets a little more interesting. I think North Carolina can sustain a loss to Duke on Saturday. Not ideal, obviously, and all you're doing is putting yourself in the muddied waters of the bubble consideration.
Right.
And then when you combine that with an early exit in the ACC tournament, then you're really shooting yourself in the foot. So I think Carolina can sustain a loss and then win a couple games in the ACC tournament and be fine. Duke, on the other hand, I'm sorry.
Duke's 11-10 now. So, yeah, they. If I'm Duke, I want to win 3 of my next 4 games just to give myself a chance.
You got to beat Carolina. If you don't beat Carolina, I have a feeling they're going to have to get to the ACC championship game to get consideration outside of the NIT, which then gets to another question related to Duke. I mean, if you want to spin this even more forward, let's say Duke doesn't make the NCAA tournament. Do they go to the NIT?
In Texas, where they just opened
up
the world.
Had they not just said, F it, we're going in. You know, we're going all
right.
in on this by rescinding all the mask mandates and going 100% open. I would be more inclined to believe that Duke would go to an NIT because I think a lot of these guys are coming back. So you play some more basketball, right?
Maybe. I remember Roy Williams, the year they made the NIT, said he was the only one who wanted to go to the NIT. And everyone else was like, nah, let's not do it. And they ended up getting to the championship game in the NIT. Which Roy's attitude is, when you're in something, you try to win it.
I think that should be the attitude for everybody.
And most people were like, nah, do you really want to win the NIT? I'm in it. And we're here.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to win it.
Oh, I remember that conversation a few years ago when East Carolina made the CIT.
Yeah.
And people wanted to make jokey jokes about the CIT. Hell no, man.
Hey, man, they're in it. You win it.
You're in a like group. I don't care what it is. You go out and you win it. You got a championship. Now, it made for some interesting basketball watching on CBS Sports Network. I mean, I think the guy who was announcing the championship was reading liners off of his phone. Like, and congratulations to, wait, what team is this again? East Carolina. And then, whatever, they handed out the trophy. So, all right, let's talk about last night's game, specifically with Duke's loss in overtime. I think the first thing that has to be said.
Wait. Well, can I please say the first thing?
What's that?
Matthew Hurt is not the ACC Player of the Year.
Oh.
If he gets more than one vote, the Duke radio person and Mike Krzyzewski, if he gets more than those two votes, I want the entire freaking thing shut down.
Oh, so that's my the
man,
final straw?
My man, the money's on the table.
Yeah.
It's time to show up.
Fouls out.
12 points.
Yeah, 12 points, he fouls out.
Don't at me. Fake person who thinks he's better than Christian Laettner.
You got trolled. I think you're still dealing with the after effect of being trolled by that guy. Nobody, I have many mentions now. Nobody believes that Matthew Hurt is better than Christian Laettner. Nobody believes that. But there are
people who believe he's the ACC Player of the Year, which is not true.
Maybe there was a time where you felt that way, but not after last night's contest. Not after what we've seen in crunch time between Louisville and then last night where he fouls out with 12 points.
And he had a great game against Louisville, just not the end of the game.
Yeah, no, you do got to close out. So who is your ACC Player of the Year?
That's an excellent question.
Right? That's the other problem.
That's an excellent question.
Okay, so this gets to the other thing. If not him, who? So you don't have an answer for that. You just know it's not Matthew Hurt.
You're right.
All right.
You're right.
Okay. Clip that, Rand. Clip that. Anyway.
It's just an odd year to give out the award, if we're being honest, because Florida State really is a team first.
Mm-hmm.
They take turns. They're so deep. And quite frankly, what has Florida State done away from home this year?
Not much.
Okay.
Not much. Oh, we got a little bit of breaking news here.
Go ahead.
ACC announces that the Virginia Tech at NC State game has been canceled.
Uh-uh. No way.
Shocker.
No. Next thing you're going to tell me, Virginia Tech's not going to play in the ACC tournament.
Well, we might be headed that
way.
Canceled game follows quarantining and contact tracing review with the Virginia Tech men's basketball program. Their game that was scheduled tonight against Louisville had already been canceled.
Correct.
We talked about this yesterday.
Correct.
I was curious if that game on Saturday was going to happen. We had precedent for this involving Louisville. We don't know where Virginia Tech was in their quarantining and contact tracing.
No, we don't.
We just don't know.
They played, though, recently, so we know that at least.
Sure. So
whereas Louisville had been out for 3 weeks.
They had been out for 3 weeks, but you could always have...
VT played on February 27th. They beat Wake like a drum at home.
My point is, with Louisville, they could have had a recurrence in those 3 weeks and everything else. We don't know the timelines on that. That's why when...
This timeline either.
No, we don't.
But how many times have we been over this scenario where I said,
well, that's why
it could be convenient for somebody.
That's why I brought up yesterday, I'm not so quick to say the NC State Virginia Tech game will happen because of the reasons that we laid out. Yes.
Sure.
But also, I brought up the Louisville Carolina game because we didn't find out about the status of that game until the Friday night before. That's why I was like,
a press conference saying, hey,
we're
going to be
there.
This. But I will say this to you, Joe. And I know you kind of raise your eyebrow at me like I'm wearing the tinfoil hat when I bring this up. I have two really, really good sources, at one at NC State and one at North Carolina. Mm. Independently, they came up with the same theory that I have espoused about conveniently using contact tracing.
Yeah.
One point they both have made, when you look at it, when a team has an issue, it's almost always when they have to play on the road. And look at this. Virginia Tech was supposed to play at NC State on Saturday. That's really weird.
Weird how that works out. I don't know how many teams we're going to have at the ACC tournament next week.
I don't know.
I don't know.
And I don't think it's nefarious. Please don't interpret it like I'm saying, like I'm Dabo Swinney accusing somebody of ducking. I'm not.
It's a want-to factor.
Well, yeah. Virginia Tech's 15-5. They have one of the best resumes, certainly of any ACC teams. They have one of the best resumes of like the 20 at-large teams on the board. They're in the tournament. Anything they do could potentially put that in jeopardy, especially if they have legitimate concerns about contact tracing issues.
Sure. But this gets to the want-to factor. This is why there's a fine line between nefarious, purposely ducking, or, you know what, do we really want to play this game or not? There is a fine line.
What's best for us?
There is a fine line with this, because if we saw this in the football season where you had the instance of, I know you like to bring this up a lot. I always bring up coaches too, but in the case of what you bring up, Trevor Lawrence missed a football game. How was he the only one who missed the Notre Dame game for Clemson? What? He wasn't around other players? How does contact tracing work? Or my other personal favorite, coaches. Well, you know, the coach can isolate himself from the players. Yeah, but what about other coaches? You're doing everything on Zoom? I don't know about that. Okay.
Meanwhile, we had the Denver Broncos have a situation where they had to start a receiver at quarterback.
Right.
Right?
So none of this makes sense. That's why if you want to, you can find yourself out of a game because of the true reasons. Contact tracing.
Sure.
I want people to understand at no point are we questioning whether or not Virginia Tech is actually dealing with COVID issues and contact tracing. We're simply pointing out if they really wanted to play a basketball game, we've seen instances where you can take dudes out. I mean, for heaven's sake,
they played a game with seven people against St.
Boston
Louis.
College was ready to play a
five
game
with against State.
Four.
They played State with five.
Right, they played State with five. What I'm saying is that Florida State game, they were ready to play with four scholarship guys and a bunch of scout team dudes. And Jim Christian, the coach at the time, said, I don't know about this, but the administration's telling me to play. And the only reason why that game didn't happen is because Florida State was dealing with their own COVID issues.
By the way.
Which then gets us to...
By the way.
What?
That was a road game.
Oh, was it?
Florida State was on the road. They were the one who canceled it.
Weird. God. So this gets us to next week with the ACC tournament.
Sure.
We're supposed to play tournament games on Tuesday. I'm going to be here. You and I are doing a show from noon to 2 on Tuesday ahead of the ACC tournament. I bet you we're not doing that. I bet you we're going to just do a normal show on Tuesday because there's not going to be enough games to play.
Games will be
I don't think enough games will be played on Tuesday. I think enough teams will say peace out that they're not going to play it. that they'll just wait to get all these games in on Wednesday. That's my theory right now. I don't think we're going to have Tuesday ACC tournament action. Or, since we're spitballing here, maybe they do cram in Tuesday games because they know that Wednesday might have some issues, right? Once everybody gets there. So you give yourself...
Didn't they just start selling tickets to this today?
Tomorrow.
Okay.
Tomorrow's when they're selling tickets.
I'm going to set it at 12. I say there's 12 teams that are there.
All right. I'm going with
10. I feel confident with 12.
I'm going 10.
Okay.
It's the OG alongside Joe Giglio. I'll cancel that Venmo that I still haven't cashed in yet.
Yeah, why not?
Because I'm not on Venmo. Oh, I have to sign up for
then
Venmo.
Then how was...
You sent it to me.
Right.
But I have to sign up for Venmo to claim it. Oh. I'll do it. I'm still getting my $100, damn it.
See that, Rand? I can't give him anything. He won't take anything from me.
I mean...
Listen, if there's just $100 out there in the ether...
Yeah, there's $100 he doesn't want.
There's $100.
I can buy a Canes ticket for that.
No, you can't.
No, you can't. What are you talking about?
No, yeah, it's true.
How you guys doing?
Well, kind of curious what the ACC tournament coverage is going to look like next week, Wes.
Yeah, I think we all are now. I feel for certainly Mike Young and Virginia Tech, but the relationship is that they have now gotten, you know, they've been sidetracked. I mean, let's be honest, where are they going to play? If they play in Greensboro next week, it'll be like their third game in 30 days.
Yeah.
Is that about right? You know, they're just in a spot now where, quite frankly, it's going to be uphill. And you don't know the details, and we don't necessarily need to know. But hypothetically, they could be traced out next week. And if they are, how does that impact? You know, we've played the 14-team event. We did it last year when Georgia Tech opted out to avoid the NCAA that they got out of, so good for them. I guess the next step would be, is there anybody else that, you know, that? And again, we don't have any roadmap for this. It's the unknown how it happens. And so we'll sit around and wait on another 2:30 email or another 4:15 email or however it works out and see what happens by the time we get to Greensboro. We haven't had a team. The one good thing about this is in some of these early tournaments, now some have been played on campus sites, but most have been staged in singular venues trying to protect one another. We haven't had anybody go positive once they got to the venue, but we're early. I'm just saying that we're really early in that whole process too.
Wes Durham, ACC Network, joining us here on the OG. All right, Wes, settle a debate here. I was genuinely surprised by how Carolina played on Monday at Syracuse. Mm-hmm. I believe you have Syracuse and Clemson coming up here on the ACC Network.
Yep.
Joe says he wasn't because that's how Carolina has been. They're up, they're down, they're up, they're down. What was your take on Monday's loss in the Carrier Dome?
Yeah, I was surprised that it went that way because I thought maybe they had moved on from that inconsistency.
Yes.
But they haven't.
But, Wes, may I interject?
Sure.
Roy Williams, look, you do this long enough, you know when the coaches are telling you exactly how they feel about their team,
true.
Right? Coach K does this all the time. Roy does this all the time. I thought the most fascinating thing that Roy Williams said on Wednesday after their Marquette loss was that this team can't handle prosperity. So
first thing I thought of Monday night was that statement, by the way.
Yep. No, I mean, that's why I tweeted it out. It's like, as I'm watching that second half unfold, Roy Williams is probably sitting there going, yep, I know you guys. He says he doesn't know this team. Actually, he does know this team, and I think that's why he said what he said last Wednesday.
Well, and I think he's also given you guys, you know, comments like, you know, I hope they're good before I die or whatever the case may be, or they'll grow up before I die or whatever the literal, you know, sense he's given in that. And I get it because I think this team has got some talent to it, but the talent has got to be refined and it's got to be, quote, galvanized, if you will, in order to be more consistent. And that just has not happened with Carolina. Now, you know, what did they learn from Monday night that'll be applicable Saturday, and how will Saturday be applicable next Wednesday in Greensboro? I don't know that. But I think Carolina is a very interesting team. I think Duke is incredibly interesting next week.
Yes.
And interesting Saturday night, because I'll say this, and the Jalen Johnson thing is long gone in my opinion. Mark Williams is immensely improved from where he was 3 weeks ago, let alone a month and a half ago. I think what Mark Williams is bringing to the table is something Duke didn't have 3 weeks ago.
Well,
and it's consistent too.
I want to play this clip from Mike Krzyzewski from last night's game, because I think this actually hits the nail on the head as to how I feel about this Duke team going into the Carolina game. Mm-hmm. And why I'm actually more confident in a Duke win than I am a Carolina win based on the ups and downs of the Tar Heels. Here's Mike Krzyzewski on these two overtime losses and why he's not too down on it.
There's no other alternative except to work and play hard to win. You know, I mean, you can't feel, we don't feel sorry for ourselves. We feel down, but no, we got to keep working. I mean, that we've had so much good, and it's easy to accept the good. And now we're having difficult. I'm not even going to say it's bad. It's just difficult. And we have to accept that and see what that does for us, you know, during this time.
That was Mike Krzyzewski after the loss to Georgia Tech. And I guess what I'm getting at with Mike Krzyzewski's comments, there's nothing wrong with losing in overtime to a good Louisville team. And this is a good Georgia Tech team that we can make our jokes about Josh Pastner, but he's got them playing well, and they're going to make the NCAA tournament. But they almost won that game last night. You know, like Georgia Tech gave them a window, and they fought right back until the end.
Yeah, Georgia Tech gave them more than window. They
this is true.
Door and half the driveway.
Yes, this is true. So in a weird sort of way, and I'm not trying to call these moral victories, I'm just simply saying that Duke knows who they are right now, even if the results haven't come through.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. And I think that, you know, if you're a Duke fan, and we've talked about this, Jillio, they're getting marked improvement from Stewart, Roach, Williams, right? They'd probably like to have Wendell Moore a little more consistent from a scoring perspective. I thought he gave him a great lift in the first half last night. And Matthew Hurt is a offensive juggernaut for them. And I think as long as he can stay out of foul trouble, because it can be pointed out that when he gets into foul trouble, Duke does not have as good a chance to win, regardless of who else is on that team. And I think that's one of the things you have to look at with those guys is, you know, they're going to play – if they get in the NCAA tournament, it might not be a first-round game. Maybe it is. But a second-round game, they're going to get guarded up and physical with. And Matthew Hurt's got to handle that. And that's going to be a tough assignment. I thought Georgia Tech last night took advantage of the matchups they had. I thought Moses Wright would play well. I thought Mark Williams would be a factor. But Moses Wright's a guy who has been built now. He's, you know, Georgia Tech likes to use the hashtag built different in some of their basketball stuff on social media. Yeah. Moses Wright's been built different. Eric Reveneau and Anthony Wilkins off Josh Pastner's staff, they've done a remarkable job making Moses Wright not just a threat around the basket to pull the rim off the glass, but a threat to score the ball at 17 feet, to shoot the occasional three. I'll throw a name at you, Jillio. He reminds me of the kid at Oregon a couple of years ago. Was it Boucher?
Oh, yeah. Starring for the Raptors right now, Chris Boucher.
Yeah, isn't it Chris Boucher?
Mm-hmm.
Who's like 6'11". Now, Wright's not that big, but you think about Boucher and Wright, they're both high-energy, lean, long post guys or front court guys who had a little bit of perimeter skill to them, and I think that's what Wright's become, and I think he's going to make all ACC on Monday, to be honest with you.
Wes Durham, ACC Network, joining us here on the OG. All right, Wes. Joe is also convinced that the Carolina-Duke game is now a Thunderdome game and that the loser has to go home.
Loser leaves town.
My bad.
Oh, Kansas Two City Bomber enter. With Raquel Welch. Loser leaves town in the roller derby skate-off.
You buying this, Wes? Loser leaves town match?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, they could show up at another promotion. That's what it feels like to me.
They're going to the AEW or whatever.
They go to the Triad Centroplex to
Dallas Sportatorium.
No, I think the loser
literally is where the NIT is going to be played.
Yeah, I was going to say the old Studio A on Western Boulevard cannot have wrestling matches anymore, but maybe they can make a special exemption.
Well,
I don't know.
How about in Greensboro, the Triad Ice Arena, where my dad and I slipped in the back door one night and saw Chuck Berry?
And then you listened to him play the same song.
Hold on,
3 hours.
Oh, stop it with the Chuck Berry.
You killing Chuck Berry, Jillian?
Sorry,
man, it was a genius.
Show joke.
Man, it was a genius.
It's just show joke. Show joke.
Man, it was a genius.
It's a deep cut conversation with Bomani Jones, who loves Chuck Berry. Wait a minute, your dad just couldn't call in a favor. You had to sneak in.
Triad Ice Arena. Well, we're on the way to Channel 2 on a Friday night. He knew Chuck Berry was playing at Triad Ice Arena. We slipped in the back door, saw three songs.
That's perfect. And they all sounded the same to Joe Giglio.
Yeah, of course they did. But no, I think Carolina Duke are, I think Duke's work is far more extensive than Carolina's, but Carolina's no way, shape, in now. I mean, they need to win Saturday and probably win one in Greensboro.
If you're on the bubble, you cannot lose your first tournament game. You cannot.
I agree with that.
They've shown every year that they do not look highly on. So if I'm any of those teams, the thing I'm not doing is losing my first game in Greensboro.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I think Carolina's situation is I tell you who I'm not as convinced is in as others are is Louisville at this point. I'm just not that convinced yet.
Why is that?
I mean, quad ones.
Sneaky, though. They have – Western Kentucky is a tournament team who they beat.
Okay, but that's gonna is help that a quad them. One?
See, this is where this year I believe –
Yeah, they're 0-2. I'm not sure your quads
are as important as I'm with you on what their actual quad one number is, but if you look at teams who they've beaten that are actually going to be in the field,
sure.
I believe Western Kentucky is one of them.
Louisville,
Virginia Tech is one of them. Duke is one of them. Georgia Tech is one of them. They beat Duke twice. So they have more there than you think, and Seton Hall is also a bubble team who they beat. I just think when you put their resume up on the board, it's better than just the looking at the Q1.
And they still got to put 68 in the field, or
and they have to.
They do.
That's the rule.
It's that the important thing about Louisville is they do have one Q1 victory. They're 1-4 in Q1 right now, but they're also 6-0 in those Q2s. And
when you look at the combined number, which they the first year they did the quadrants, they actually did use that type of metric.
Yeah,
so we'll they're probably see. They're probably the last team from the ACC to get in.
No.
Yeah.
No.
And one. And the one thing I guess we all have to understand, too, and it'll be important for Greensboro next week, is the best non-conference resume in the ACC belongs to Clemson.
Clemson, yeah, no doubt. Not even close.
Everybody, you know, the Hall of Justice, back at the Hall of Justice, from the old Super Friends, I would say this. You've got to understand Clemson has beaten teams, Alabama, Purdue, you know, when you start thinking about the way they've played, Clemson has
Maryland.
Clemson's had a really, really good year, and that's something that has to be understood because they're probably going to benefit from that once a committee sits down and puts them on the board somewhere.
Yes.
Wes Durham, ACC Network, joining us on the OG. Speaking of the ACC Network, I'm going to have a little something for you on the internet tonight, Wes.
Okay.
The tax shaver review is done.
Oh, yeah, he shaved his beard.
We'll see how the we'll see.
Well, I sent you a text of what I got last week.
That's right. You got a bounty of nuts.
We made an order from nuts.com.
Yeah.
Victoria and I ordered the cashews. And I will say this, the lady doesn't lie in the ad. The sesame honey sticks are fantastic.
Ooh, I'm intrigued.
The honey sesame sticks are fantastic from nuts.com.
So, Joe, I feel that Jillio graduated to another level of sports talk radio today. All right.
Okay.
Now, you're an old crusty vet. I'm an old crusty vet of sports talk radio at this point in time as I approach 42. But Jillio today did something that made me proud.
Okay.
At the beginning of the show, he said, Matthew Hurt is not the ACC Player of the Year.
Okay.
Which, okay, fine. Then I asked him, well, who is? And what was your response, Joe?
I don't know.
That's perfect. That is... That's
you just know it's not Matthew Hurt.
That's
I just know it's not Matthew
that's
Hurt.
That's chef's kiss.
Thank you.
That is chef's kiss sports talk. Just not him. I don't know who else, but not him. I love that. So the question is, who is the ACC Player of the Year, Wes?
Funny you should ask that. You can watch the State Farm Halftime Report tonight three times, and Packer and Durham will discuss it. This is not a popular opinion.
Okay.
And – after watching him again last night, notice I use watch and not seeing him.
Uh-huh.
After watching him again last night, I think Justin Champagne is probably a really strong candidate to be the Player of the Year. It's different than Eric Green, Jillio. That's the first thing I came away with last night. It's different than Eric Green. Eric Green, we stood around and waited on him to score. With Champagne, he moves around the floor. He touches the ball in so many different ways. He's pretty good, and he's 6'6", maybe, and he's getting 12.5, 13 rebounds a game. I mean, he's a guy that I think is well-deserving. I'll be honest. Carlique Jones, Seth Greenberg brought Carlique Jones up Monday, and I think Carlique Jones has had a whale of a year. I think Moses Wright's had a whale of a year.
I think the number one thing for Carlique Jones is Louisville would be so freaking bad without him.
Okay.
And the fact that they're 8-4 in the league with him, and I believe if he didn't miss any of those games, I think there has to be the value part has to be in the equation.
Sure.
And I think Carlique Jones is the answer for me. I could listen to Jay Huff. I could listen to even Sam Hauser.
Well, I have a hard time with Sam Hauser when I know what Jay Huff does.
Yeah. Yeah, but then that takes a little bit of the beauties in the eye of the beholder, right, with Jay Huff?
I just think Jay Huff drives a lot of their engine at both ends of the floor. And I had a coach tell me that, yeah, Sam Hauser can score it, and you got to be concerned with that, but Jay Huff creates everything for them at the offense and defensive end of the floor because of where he moves around and how he affects the game on the screen and roll, how he affects the game defensively.
Oh, he's had a great year.
Nature.
Yeah.
Oh, he's had a great year. And it's a hell of a coaching job by Tony Bennett and his staff to get Jay Huff to where he is because he is a draftable prospect now at the next level where I'm not sure anybody thought he could be any of that when he showed up.
Speaking of coaching, ACC Coach of the Year.
Teasing my brain now, buddy.
Well, I think we go back to the earlier joke. It's got to be Mike Young for all these games they've missed. Crafty.
Well, okay, I understand the Mike Young thing. There is part of me that, you know, while they were favored and everybody thought they would be good because they're old, if Clemson gets the double bye, Brownell's got to get some consideration.
I can see that. They went through a bit of a slump there, but this is also related to COVID pauses and everything else. We've seen
everybody
this.
In the damn league's gone through a slump.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Right. Now that we have more context,
sure.
You go, oh, well, okay, well, no wonder. You know, you dealt with what other teams have dealt with. I mean, NC State dealt with this. Louisville's dealt with this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, out of the two pauses, Louisville got crushed by Wisconsin by 35 points.
Sure.
And out of their second pause, when they hadn't played for like 3 weeks, they got beat by 45 by North Carolina. And yet, they still look like a pretty good team that can make the NCAA tournament. So I think we have further context now to what these COVID pauses do.
And can we also give a little bit of love to Lenny under the Mike Krzyzewski rule where you just lost two lottery picks and you're still the best team in the league?
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, now, I have my own issues with Florida State, never playing any road games ever, but hard not to argue with what
they lost. They go to Notre Dame this year, they're going to, oh, is this what an airplane looks like? I mean, yeah, I think the player of the year and the coach of the year is really up for grabs. I mean, Mike Young certainly deserves consideration. I think that, you know, Josh Pastner, I mean, my goodness, Georgia Tech could potentially, although now I think they're blocked on the double bye, but they haven't played.
He had the same exact team last year without the kid from Texas who he freaking stole.
Yeah,
the NCAA magically made eligible.
Well, you know how it goes.
I know.
Come on. Yeah, transfer.
James Banks.
Got to get the waiver and, you know. But they've done a good job. They're going to be interesting to watch. They're incredibly thin, though. Good heavens, they're incredibly thin. So. I think we bring up a lot of really good – that's going to be the beauty of all ACC Monday is how hard this is really going to be.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And not necessarily in a good way, Wes. I know you can't say it, but I'll say it for you.
Yeah,
no,
there's going to be some curious votes.
Gillio, this is not your father's ACC
right.
There is no question.
Right.
Okay, this is not the Anton Jameson, Joe Smith problems, okay,
right.
Or whatever. I mean, this is not that issue. This is you know, this is a different ACC right now. There's no question about that.
Wes Durham, ACC Network. All right, so three times we can watch you and Packer break down some ACC player that you're talking.
If everybody elects to run it, you can, sure. and what's really going to be awkward is I hope they don't hand me a card or show me a card on a screen here in the first half of the Clemson-Syracuse game that says, hey, Wes, promote your Packer and Durham halftime. No, I'm not going to do that, but, you know, whatever.
Well, why not? You're gonna promote yourself?
I know.
Self promotion, Wes.
I'll let Spitola read it, and he can shove. He'll shove on Packer, which will be hilarious.
All right, man. Have fun with the broadcast. Thanks for accommodating a little bit of a time change.
No, thank you guys. Appreciate it as always. Have a good week. We'll look forward to Greensboro next week and see what we get. Right?
Yeah. We're curious if we're even gonna have a Tuesday, but we'll find out.
Have a Tuesday.
Yes. All right, Wes.
See you guys.
Later,
be well.
Man. Carolina Hurricanes won their third in a row. Nashville Predators, the opponent. They return home to take on the Detroit Red Wings on Thursday. Their first home game with fans in attendance. That'll be a lot of fun. So last night's game was notable for a couple of reasons. Hurricanes' best players continue to be their best players. Vincent Trocheck is on fire. He had another goal last night. Good to see Sebastian Aho get some goals, too. But really, the feel-good story was Steven Lorenz, who has been with this squad. He's been productive. It's all, you know, all part of this expanded roster and everything else. He's just been a feel-good story. He finally got his goal last night. And during the broadcast, he talked to Chirp Tracy and Mike Maniscalco about that.
Martinuk leaves the puck in the Nashville zone, tries to go across to Lorenz. Puck is knocked down. Lorenz, he scores! Steven Lorenz, his first National Hockey League goal on a puck lying right in front of Pekka Rinne. And he gives the Canes a 3-0 lead.
Boy, what a moment for Steven Lorenz.
You know what? I wasn't going to sit there and be too picky. I just wanted one, and I was fortunate that I was able to get it by a goalie as good as Rinne. So I'm obviously over the moon right now. I think our line's been playing great. It was only a matter of time before, you know, we found the score sheet. So, like I said, I'm so happy, and we still got to close out another 20 minutes here. But, you know, I'm rolling right now. I feel good.
That was Lorenz last night. That was good. There was more info on the Canes Corner podcast hosted by Adam Gold. Here's 2 minutes or so on that.
2 minutes. 2 minutes.
Let's do that hockey.
All right, guys. I have 2 minutes for never forgetting your first. Frankly, I could probably do this in a lot less than 2 minutes because you never forget your first. Where were you when you first scored? Think about it. All of the things you dreamed about for your entire life. How is it going to feel? How long is it going to take? And finally, it happens. And you finally break through and score. And then it's over like that. And you're going crazy and you're wondering, man, when can I score again?
Martinuk leaves the puck in the Nashville zone. Tries to go across to Lorenz. Puck is knocked down. Lorenz, he scores! Steven Lorenz, his first National Hockey League goal on a puck lying right in front of Pekka Rinne, and he gives the Canes a 3-0 lead.
Boy, what a moment for Steven Lorenz.
What a moment. What did you think I meant? Look, Steven Lorenz has been in the NHL now for most of the season. He finally scores his first NHL goal. He is that young Great Dane puppy that's all arms and legs and flailing around. But Steven Lorenz is also a good hockey player. And he has provided Carolina with a bunch of energy and a bunch of good attitude. And it's infectious, if I could use that term today, especially after getting your first one. So good for Steven Lorenz. And I do think that if you look around, I mean, everybody roots for this kid. It's just incredible. Everybody, he makes people smile. I like smiling. Smiling is good. And I thought it was interesting that James Reimer, after the game, said, yes, I let in those two goals, so Steven Lorenz's first goal in the NHL would ultimately be the game winner. Now, do I think he did that on purpose? No, I don't. But it becomes a nice little cherry on top, if you will, for Steven Lorenz's first goal of the season. Speaking of first, it had been, I believe, 5 games since we'd heard this.
Natchez spins it up front. Oh, he scores! Marty Natchez returns the favor from last night, and the Canes go up 1-0.
Look, Aho's been scoring a lot in his now 24 years, 23 years on this planet. 38 times he scored last year, but it'd been a while. And we all know sometimes you need a slump buster, but Aho got it from Martin Natchez last night. Aho passed it to Natchez to win the game, or 2 nights ago, actually, as we're here, as we're playing this, in overtime in Florida. But in the first period, it was Natchez to Aho, as I say, nachos to Aho. So there you are. We had a first, and the Hurricanes finish a road trip with a third straight win. They come home and they will play in front of fans, some fans, select fans, invited fans, on Thursday against the Detroit Red Wings. Don't you know? You never forget your first, right, guys?
That was Adam Gold. If you want, that was more than 2 minutes, Rand. How long was that?
It was a little over three.
But it was for your first.
Yeah, but that should have been under 2 minutes.
I see why.
Should have been around 30 seconds. Gold, if you're going to do the bit, commit to the bit. Instead, I got to get you drug tested now. At least he didn't go for 4 hours.
It's time to play You're Full of Shit, Giglio. Listen, I've known Joe has been full of shit since 1975, so this is old news to me. Here's Joe Ovius with the rules, but I can already tell you, Giglio is definitely full of shit. And I should know, I'm his mother.
Thank you very much, Nora. Yeah, Giglio's got some fun facts, or does he? Some are true, some are made up. It's up to the listeners to determine. Let's say hey to Tim in Knightdale. Tim, what's up, man?
Yeah, how's it going?
Tim, do you have a soft beard?
No beard at all.
No beard at all? Is that because you can't grow one or you just don't want one?
The first option, can't grow one. It's all patchy.
You know what, though? I respect that you recognize you have a patchy beard and you don't try. Scott and Raleigh. Scott, what's up?
Hey, how are you?
Do you have a beard or not?
No beard.
Is it because you can't grow one?
It doesn't look good.
Again, I appreciate you guys having the self-awareness to try not to make that happen. I wish my brother had that same self-awareness, him and his struggle patchy beard.
Your brother just got engaged.
He did just get engaged,
look at
yes.
Him, all grown up.
Oh, I know, I know. Very proud of him. All right, Giglio's got a fun fact. Or is it? If you think he made it up, shout out your name, and Nora's going to do the rest.
You're full of s***, Giglio.
If you're right, and it's not true, you'll get that $20 gift card to the original Flying Burrito. If you're wrong, it goes to the other guy. Let's go.
Okay. Bears coach Matt Nagy once played quarterback in the Arena Football League for the Carolina Cobras. You guys must all be Matt Nagy fans. That is correct. When the team was in Charlotte, he played for the Cobras. Canes rookie Stephen Lorenz is from the same hometown as Denver Nuggets star Jamal Murray.
Tim.
You're full of s***, Giglio.
I am sorry, my man. They're both from Kitchener, Ontario. Oh. That means Scott got yourself a $20 gift card to the original Flying Burrito.
Woohoo!
Congrats, man. Enjoy it. Rand will get your information offline. Thanks for listening. Thanks for playing.
Yeah. It's time for Rand 2.
Acapella the news.
Well, boys, you know the drill. When a new cane does something really well.
Oh, sorry, wrong one.
You're fine. When a new Kane does really well, like Cedric Paquette, we give him a song. And shout out to Joe Giglio for texting me this morning a great idea about our guy, Stephen Lorenz. This might be a Hall of Famer, boys. I'm pretty proud of it. Yeah, I went there.
Oh, no.
He had them ballot bottom jeans, skates with the trim, with the trim. The whole team was looking at him. He hit the ice,
he hit the ice.
That goal was nice. Now we got low, 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 Lorenz. That padded jersey and the helmet with the strap,
with the strap.
He saw the puck and then he gave that thing a slap.
Hey,
he hit the ice,
he hit the ice.
That goal was nice. Now we got low, 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 low. I'm glad we got him in the seventh round. That pick was slick, so we gotta expound. When he beat Renee, he heard the sound. They started celebrating all around. So pump for sure, that shot was pure. Had to endure and stay mature. Hold up, wait a minute, had a lead they had to ensure. Weren't sure when he would score, but Rod said he could have had more. Like GameStop and stock, it just soared. Giving us more than we asked for. Helped us earn though, and now we gotta go. This road trip started a long time ago. Got goals from Seabass and even Young Tro. But yo, this one is just for our boy Lowe. He had them
power bottom jeans, skates with the trim,
with the trim. The whole team was looking
power
at
power bottom jeans.
Yes.
Well done.
Thanks.
Well done. Gave that thing a slap.
Woo! He gave it a slap.
Gave that thing a slap.
Rand.
Yeah.
First ballot, baby.
Yes.
Very well done.
On the
man.
Next mixtape.
Yes. And maybe Giglio will give that one away. And it won't still be in his bag like it
still
is now.
Still is. I want to make sure the right person gets it.
How old is that contest? We did that at Christmas.
Well, Joe,
it's now March.
Maybe now we can actually go out and someone will be at a bar and they could find it.
That's what happened with the other mixtapes. People found them at the bars I left them at. What's your excuse?
I was thinking of it being a safer environment now, Joe.
Oh.
That's what I was thinking. Maybe I'll bring it to the parking lot in Greensboro on Friday. How about that?
Well, if we go.
Okay.
If we go.
Don't get me excited.
Nothing's confirmed yet.
Okay.
Nothing is confirmed.
You've been listening to the Best of the OG with Ovius and Giglio podcast. Part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Brought to you by Capital Financial Advisory Group. Get your total retirement income plan by texting JOE to 21000. Don't forget, this podcast drops every weekday at 6 p.m. And you can find it at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL Sports Fan app, or you can subscribe for free at the iTunes and Google Play stores.